Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
Long time in the making. And this week in downtown Billings, I mean, it's hopping. There are lines for places here. 1,400 extension agents. They've got family here. Then this is from every corner of the United States. And what are they here for? Well, they're here for a professional conference. They're here to learn from Montana's rich agricultural heritage and also, just grow in their ranching knowledge and their farming knowledge and their knowledge of rural America. The 2025 NACAA Professional Conference, NACAA. It's an acronym, of course, and it's a long one for the National Association of County Agricultural Agents. We got a show lined up today. We'll find out what's going on all across Montana, but across the country as well, live today from Voices of Montana. Cody Stone here, and John Holly, and they're having their share of fun already, you know. So 4 years in the make. Good morning, you guys. How are you?
Morning. Great. Good morning. It's a beautiful day in downtown Billings.
Yeah. So Cody Stone is the MSU Extension Executive Director, and John Holly is friend of the program, been on. The guys have done the 4-H program for a lot of years here, communications agent there with MSU Extension. And so there is a ton of things going on here. I looked at the agenda, Cody and John, and I 4 years in the making, for crying out loud. I bet those were four pretty long years, John.
Our extension agents put this bid in. It might have been over 4 years ago. Thanks for fixing the mic there. And they have put in a ton of work. They've raised money from sponsors. They've worked with our national association and other states to pick the right sort of educational opportunities and showcase, you mentioned it kind of, showcase of Montana's agricultural industry and heritage. And, man, people are having a great time this week.
Cody Stone, what does it mean to be able to host this convention here?
Yeah, it's such a privilege. It's a great opportunity for us to really showcase Montana agriculture to people from around the nation, an opportunity to talk about the high-quality wheat, barley that we produce, the cattle, the seed potatoes, the pulse crops, and to give those tours to individuals to see, also see, have some opportunities to have some recreational time around our state, too. It's a big economic impact, not only to Billings, but also to our state, as many of the individuals who've come in bring their families, bring their spouses, spend extra time either before or after. So a great opportunity to really showcase Big Sky Country to people across the nation.
And it's really cool. You mentioned families because you guys have also thought about that aspect of it, too. You have events for families and kids to do and things like that. We're going to talk with Patrick Mangan a bit later on. He's the extension agent for the Flathead Reservation, but co-chair of this conference, too. So we'll get into some of those details because I find it pretty fascinating. I mean, I looked at the agenda, and it's busy. You guys are going from place to place to place around, and that does take some time to coordinate.
Tours, buses, coolers full of water,
yeah.
And snacks as people are going around highlighting multiple aspects of our great state. It's also great professional development for our own extension agents as they get to learn from their colleagues from around the nation. We have tracks related to horticulture, to youth programming, to agronomy, to animal science. And so really a lot of opportunities for that professional growth for our agents. And then they get to come together and really celebrate what's great about Montana and what's great about Montana State University Extension.
I'm going to ask you this question, and John, I'm going to have you follow up on this as a comms person. But Cody, the last time this convention was hosted here in Montana was 1982. You might not have even been around back
I was
in
around, but I wasn't in Montana.
But the question is, I should get these guys talking about their Texas A&M and Texas Tech roots. And, they were laughing about that already. They got rings that they're looking, they're showing each other. And I don't know, I think they were arguing about professors and lunch and all of that. That's fun. The question doesn't go back to 1982. The question is, what has changed? What is different now in the farming, agricultural, not only that, but in our rural communities? I know we're trying to revitalize them. MSU Extension has had a program that has been successful in doing that in that regard. What has changed in all that from your standpoint. And then I'm going to have you, John, talk about telling people about what has changed.
I think that's great. I think there's new opportunities always for learning and for engaging with farmers and ranchers about their operations and ways in which they can be more effective. Advances in technology, advances in AI, precision agricultural aspects, and some partnerships with Montana State University Extension, the College of Agriculture, and the Montana Agricultural Experiment Stations on uplifting some of the new technologies. And we've been highlighting some of that at various field days at the experiment station. So that'd be one thing that I think is really kind of primarily changed with that. But what hasn't changed are people's passion for agriculture and the sustainability of their programs to pass that down to generations and to be proud of working on the land. That really hasn't changed. But as I mentioned at our opening ceremony, thriving ag communities are really reliant on thriving rural communities and thriving indigenous communities. They're reliant on thriving families and thriving youth programs. So we really look at this holistically in supporting our ag industry by supporting families through our family consumer science programs, in mental health, in farm stress, in succession planning. We think about this with our community vitality. You mentioned our Reimagining Rural program mm-hmm. and our Big Sky Big Leadership program to really bolster community-based leadership in our rural and indigenous communities. And then the 4-H program, of course, is a great way to engage youth in opportunities so that they are beyond ready for whatever is next within their life, that are healthy, productive, and engaged in their communities and ready for whatever's next.
Love that answer. And just to FYI, we did a show on the Reimagining Your Rural program.
For
this,
sure.
This was like maybe even 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's still one of the most popular podcasts.
Yeah.
It is still getting listens, even 2 years old. So
for
we need
sure.
To, we need to
circle back. I mean,
yeah.
there's great stories that are coming out, and over 50 communities across our state have engaged in Reimagining Rural and planning what they need on a local basis.
Cody Stone, Executive Director of the MSU Extension, and Comms Director for MSU Extension is John Hawley.
Yeah, it's great to be here, and you were asking earlier, the opportunity to tell the story of Montana agriculture mm-hmm. has been really fun, and I moved here myself 3.5 years ago, and there's a lot of unique things about Montana, both in our agricultural industry, but also in our land-grant system. You know, we're the state with the most land-grant universities at 7, so, you know, all these people here, these extension agents, our faculty, people in administrative roles like Cody, you know, they work for land-grants, and so we've been able to tell that story. And Montana agriculture, you know, I've had people come up to me this week and say, I didn't know lentils were a thing, but we grow them here. And we're proud of it, and they're good. And so we've had a great opportunity to really showcase the unique things that we do in Montana. And, yeah, there's been a lot of recreation and folks getting out, and almost everyone I've talked to is either has come early or staying late.
I like that. You know, it's in Montana, not far from Yellowstone, right?
Yep.
Not far from Glacier.
We had tours coming to the Montana State University campus, focusing on horticulture and thinking about ways they're engaged. We have people out at livestock at the feeders today looking at our livestock industry here as well. We've sent people all over, and then they've gone over on their own. But mm-hmm. It's been a great opportunity, and we're super proud of our agents, of the work that we've highlighted, and our opportunity to really uplift agriculture in Montana.
Talk about the collaboration from state to state, because I know when you're tackling weeds, or I know when you're looking at marketing messaging or whatever, I mean, you cannot live in a bubble.
Correct. Invasive species do not know state boundaries.
Right.
Neither do wildlife.
Yeah. They don't know my yard from my neighbor's yard. Apparently.
Exactly. And so we have a lot of opportunities. I just got back last week from Laramie, from our Western Region Extension Directors and Experiment Station Directors joint meeting, in which we have opportunities to really talk about agriculture in the West, about extension programming at our land-grant universities and our partner universities in the other states. And so great opportunities for us to develop and further lead out with what we call the Western Agenda for agriculture and for living within the West, and really focusing on issues that are of important import to us, water being a high issue, invasive species, and then thriving rural communities in much of the West. So we partner, we even partner with states that aren't in our region, so the Dakotas as well, but have great opportunities for that collaborative effort. Each state has a land-grant university. Some may have more. We have seven tribal colleges, along with Montana State University as the state's land-grant institution. So opportunities for collaboration are always great in learning and in enrichment.
John, talk about that as well, you know, again, from the comm standpoint. But maybe fold in as well what you guys are doing with other universities.
We are constantly partnering with other universities, and in positions like, you know, Cody and I, we're going to these meetings where we're hearing about the things that are going well, maybe the things that we need to work on, and the opportunities for partnership. And so that's one of the great things about this is we have people representing all 50 states and multiple territories here that are coming and, you know, collaborating with us. I mean, I can't imagine how many partnerships may grow from this meeting, you know, with my department in particular with communications and publication work. You know, we work with faculty that might have an expertise in something at another university that we might not have. And so we'll put together a publication, we'll work on video and marketing materials, things like that. And so that's one of the great things about this. And at the end of the day, the purpose and, you know, our mission is to improve lives and communities. So if our people can come to learn something here and take it back to Plentywood, take it back to Hamilton, take it back to, you know, back here in Billings. We had Francisco on another radio program this morning and just talking. He's one of our ag agents, talking about the work that he does and how he's learning about things here. That's why we make this investment. That's why MSU Extension is proud to have, frankly, I think close to 100 of our people are here this week.
It's an outstanding opportunity. Again, within the West, we have opportunities for partnering on farm stress across our Western region, invasive species and collaborations with Wyoming. And our invasive species specialist here, Jane Mangold, just visited with her while she was here about some collaborative efforts with Wyoming. Thinking about opportunities with youth, as I said earlier, and seeing how we can find those opportunities. Also, there's a Western Rural Development Center out of University of Idaho that we partner and collaborate with on rural and indigenous community vitality.
Again, a super opportunity here for your people to learn from others around the country and vice versa. I'm not sure if you can wrap this up in a sentence or two, but what are a couple of things that you want your people to get from this conference that will benefit Montana, and then vice versa? In your mind, what are a couple of things, just the top level stuff? And they're building memories and relationships in so many ways here as well. But can you narrow it down for us, Cody?
I'm really excited for our extension agents and specialists to learn new things and to have that opportunity for professional development with leaders in industry and in ag from other institutions. I'm also really excited that those other states get to learn about Montana, see what it's like in a little difference. All of our states have our unique aspects and the ways in which we're organized, but we're connected by that land-grant university mission that really focuses on teaching and learning, on research and scholarship, but then it focuses on extension and engagement with communities across that state. So there's a lot that brings us together with that. We have our unique aspects, but a great opportunity to learn and engage from each other.
The conference started on the 29th, and it'll go for tomorrow as well. It's a four-day conference for the most part. A lot of years go into the making of this. What have you learned already? We're in the middle of it here. What has Cody Stone learned about it already?
I've learned that I like having two hotels because I get my steps in and I get to go up and downstairs.
Right, yeah.
That's kind of funny. No, I really learned how innovative and engaged our extension agents are here in Montana. We're a small university system. We're a small extension program, and we've put on one of the best national meetings that I've seen in a while. And I'm just super proud of the people and their dedication to their profession here in Montana and what it means to be a Montana State University Extension agent.
John, give a shout-out to some of those folks Cody's talking about.
Yeah, well, you're going to have Patrick Mangan on here in a minute. You're going to have Shelley Mills, one of our agents as well. They've been the co-chairs, and they've been so humble. They've put in years of work raising funds, preparing the schedule, working with our national team, working with other universities. But again, I would guess we probably have 60 different Extension agents come this week and many other staff. I want to shout-out to many of our people that are speaking. If we have an opportunity to have Lee Schmelzer, one of our specialists, on, he's talking about collaborations. He's working on this really neat app he was telling me earlier. So if we can get him on, that'd be great. So that's one of our speakers. Kim Woodring, our Tool County agent, she gave a presentation, or will be, on agritourism. And then Peter Kolb, our forestry specialist, he's also speaking today. So, you know, not only are we putting the event on, but we're sharing our expertise in front of a national audience.
For sure. Yeah, Peter's great. He's the lone bobcat on the U of M campus.
It has
a big MSG sign. So, Tom, I have to rib you a little bit about that Go Cat.
I know how it feels, all right? Especially around here, a lot of cat testosterone.
That's right. We like it. Maybe you should bottle that up and
the hill. Cody, good stuff. Have a great rest of your conference here as well.
Thanks so much,
always
Tom.
Look forward to working with you. And John's always great to work with, too. Thank you,
awesome.
Guys.
Much appreciated. Much appreciated to the network as well and engaging with us.
Thank you, guys. You guys do good work.
Thank
John
you.
Holly, thank you. All right, welcome back. You're live from the Northern Hotel. It is a national convention. I mean, there's 1,400 extension agents from every corner of the country here. The 2025 NACAA Professional Conference, National Association of County Agricultural Agents. How important is agriculture across Montana? Vitally important. 24,000 farms and ranches working. There's 57 million acres, and that's about an average of 2,400 acres per operation, and a lot of money goes into it as well. Montana's farms boast strong financial performances at times. Other times, it's tougher to make a living here. And I think we all know that being in Montana. Welcome back to Voices of Montana here again live from the Northern Hotel. Our guest now is Patrick Mangan. He's an extension agent and works on the Flathead Reservation, but also co-chair of this 2025 conference. And Patrick, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. I had a lot of coffee already this morning, so ready to go.
I've checked you out. You're holding it together okay, but as co-chair of this conference, and again, you know, the 4 years that it takes to get this, this is the culmination of it, so you'll probably get some rest here on the other side of the midweek here, huh?
I can't tell you how excited I am that Friday is a holiday and we roll into a three-day weekend and then get to go back to our offices after a little bit of a rest.
Talk about what's going on here at the conference. You've got speakers, you've got tours all across. I mean, I looked at the agenda and I was just flabbergasted by it, actually.
Absolutely, yeah. So this national conference is a combination between our annual meetings for our association to come together to celebrate one another and give awards for those who have reached achievement milestones or been celebrated by their peers at their state level. So we have all those meetings and all those conversation pieces. We have a delegate session going on right now as we speak, where representatives from every state association are voting on business for the whole national association. In addition to that, we have a series of themed topics in agriculture, horticulture, and natural resources that are have invited a juried selection of extension agents like myself from across the nation to come in and present topics and programs that they offer in their communities and in their states to share that with others. So we have 9 or 10 different sessions running concurrently for all of those different pieces where people can learn more about the topic that interests them their opportunity to learn that professional improvement side of the conference where they can gain new skills, gain new knowledge, or new programs and take it home and interact with it in their own state. And then we've also sent people off to explore this part of Montana. We have a couple different programs that run with our conference, Sons and Daughters Program, where our youth member or children of our members can go out during the day while their adults might be engaged in this learning opportunity here in the hotel. Their youth are out. Today they're out at the Montana Audubon Center learning about plant ID and bird and wildlife and getting to do a little canoeing. Then they're going to switch it up a little bit this afternoon. They're going to go to the splash park and just get to go do some water and slides. So they've had a great couple of days just exploring and learning horseback riding, rafting, learning about plants. And we also have a what we call our life members. Usually they're the retired members that come back every year because they're so engaged in this community. They're out exploring different parts of Montana today as well. The one bus is going to head up the Beartooth Plateau and go to Red Lodge and visit that small community. There's an indigenous-themed tour that's going to Pompey's Pillar and down to Hardin to see the historical museum and center down there. So there's places kind of going everywhere. Education's kind of happening all over.
Boy, look at all that organization there, too. You know, and what I feel about this is that there's a strong sense of family here. I mean, like you say, they come and they bring their kids and but I'm going to say that that's probably because of the work you guys do. I mean, agriculture and farming is built around community, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, really that community aspect of just working with producers and farmers is really important. The job that we do as extension professionals is so relationship based. And oftentimes, you know, people like myself on a reservation or the county agents, you know, we might be the only person in our office who does what we do. So when we get the chance to come together and commemorate stories or commiserate sometimes some of the things right. that we've had happen in our professional life, it is a really strong, powerful thing to bring us together as a community. And agents and their families come to this conference year after year to engage and to create that network. And I have friends all over the nation now. I've come to a couple of these conferences, and I have friends that I keep in touch with. And we either Instagram or Facebook or email or text. So it just becomes this network of just friends that we can talk to and continue to connect with.
Talk about, and Patrick Mangan with us, one of the co-chairs, along with Shelley Mills. Shelley is out of the Valley County area. She's an extension there as well. So she was a co-chair with you right now in the
Absolutely.
Delegate session, too. Putting a tour together. I mean, the collaboration that you have with local producers is pretty high, too.
Yeah, absolutely. We've spent about 2.5 years thinking as a committee of 7 or 8 of us putting together. We have 17 tours that are going to go out tomorrow. We have more than 800 people on these buses going to explore different aspects, whether it's ag and production, livestock, cultural interest or history. We have one that's going to be called Do You Want to Be a Cowboy? And so we're going to go to places like Rand's Hats and Swanky Saddles and just give them some of that experience of that Western Americana of, you know, here's what a really amazingly well-made cowboy hat.
Yeah.
That's the process that Rand Hats goes through to make these. There's just an enormous amount of details that we have to put into each and every one of those tours. As an example, I have I was able to leverage one of my own personal friendships with a sheep rancher that I know here in the area, and so we pasted together a tour that's going to focus really on lamb and wool production. We're going to go to our wool distributor and processor here in Billings, the center of the nation wool, talk to them a little bit about different qualities of wool. They're going to give us a presentation, talk a little bit about the role they play in supporting the sheep industry here in the southern part of Montana, and then also how they play an international role in shipping that product out and getting it further processed. And then we're going to head out to the Fishtail and Absarokee area and visit Rob Yates, who's my friend, who's a sheep rancher out there. He's going to host us for the rest of the day. He's going to take us to a farm or two, show us a little bit about his operation. He's brought in and organized the local wildlife officers to come in and talk about predator control. He's talk a little bit about range management, the weed district, and how sheep can be used to control invasive species like leafy spurge. Layered on top of that, we've put together a barbecue that they're going to do on site at Tippett Rise, one of the ranches that we're going to. So we had to coordinate all aspects of that to get it going, from the addresses and the itinerary that a bus would need to use so that they can find their way there. I brought we have lamb burgers that we're serving for this lamb tour
nice.
That are from actually from my own flock and my own herd.
Oh.
We processed and had some lamb burgers made. So we had to get lamb burgers from the Missoula area in a frozen cooler to Rob Yates out in Absarokee so that they can fry them up and serve them to the people tomorrow, as well as a barbecue for 50 people in a set of coolers ready to go out there so that they can be ready for those people when they show up.
You pulled it off, and it's really good. Congratulations on that. 15 seconds.
All right.
Tell me what this does for you. You've been to these conferences. I'm going to run out of time, but if you can do it in 15 seconds,
All right.
What's it mean?
You know, there's always something that I learn going to these conferences that I can bring home to my people, even when I'm in Iowa. There's a piece of information that I can apply to my producers in Montana.
Patrick Mangan, thank you so much for what you do. I appreciate that. And the conference, knock on wood, so far a success. It ain't over yet, though. Okay.
Yeah. 2 more days.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. Farmland values are rising across the country in Montana as well, especially in Montana. This is August of 2024. The U.S. farmland averaged about $4,100 an acre. That's up 5% from the previous year. Cropland, about $5,600 per acre as well. Welcome back here. It's all about land. It's all about production. It's all about communities as well. In Montana, we are a frontier state, and I don't care how big your town is, it's still a frontier town if you live in Montana. Welcome back here to the Northern Hotel. Tom Schultz alongside this week, Downtown Billings, hopping again. Over 1,400 extension agents from across the country in two hotels here at the Northern, also at the Doubletree. It's the NACAA Professional Conference, and that's National Association of County Agricultural Agents. And pleasure to welcome Lee Schmelzer, 25 years in Stillwater County, and now as an associate specialist. We'll talk about your specialties, but good morning, Lee. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Hanging in there, yeah.
Yeah, busy week.
I can imagine for you a conference with 1,400 people. A lot of excitement. You're learning a lot of different things here, right?
Yep, it's professional development and providing information to other extension agents. All extension agents bring the different things that they talk about and present to others so then they can go out and help their clients out in the farm and ranch country.
Let's talk about your specialty that you're working on because, again, 25 years in Stillwater County. Thank you for that service as an extension agent, too. And then 2 years ago, you moved into an area that, well, tell us about it. It sounds kind of fascinating.
Well, you know, we're never either coming in or going out of drought in Montana. And so what we've been trying to do is develop some tools that might help producers earlier in the season find out what their conditions are. And one of the things that there's a seminar this afternoon that we're presenting to other ag agents, and what I'm presenting on is a tool called Grasslands Forecast, or GrassCast. If you search for GrassCast, it's a tool that starts 1st of April in the Northern Plains country all the way down through to New Mexico, and it is one of the few tools that pulls all the information, current rainfall, past conditions, and tries to forecast what the grass conditions are going to be out there. So to help people make decisions earlier in the year on what's going to happen with their farm and ranch. Do they need to destock? Do they need to stock more? Whatever the conditions are, and it helps them make those decisions earlier. And it's fairly reliable. Just another tool. It's not end-all, be-all,
right,
but it's another tool for farmers and ranchers. And that's what we're presenting this afternoon is tools. Also, in the Montana Mesonet in Upper Missouri River Basin is putting in about 500 weather stations that will also help, again, more information to help farmers and ranchers make those decisions that they work on every day.
That's a lot, but weather stations, they're not big, you know. And they're really not. Are they electronic nowadays?
So, these are electronic. They send a signal automatically. They also have, of course, a full suite of weather, but also these are unique because they have soil moisture readings also at five different levels, 4 to 5 different levels. And so we can understand better whether that rain that happened yesterday is going in the ground.
Yeah. Is it?
And available. Depends on where you're at. Right here where we're sitting, I hate to say it, but we're in pretty good shape. But if you get away from us, why, it looks pretty sad in some places.
Yeah, so it's tough in some areas, too. And you know, we've been getting some moisture, though, too. So we're thankful for that all across the state.
Yep.
Lee Schmelzer, again, is with us here, an associate specialist with MSU Extension. So GrassCast, what is the current condition of our grass? I mean, when you're forecasting grass, are you forecasting weeds? Are you forecasting different varieties of grass? What's the quality of our grass out there?
So what this does is try to come up with the total production of forage. So it has some limits because it's everything. So it can't differentiate So they don't do it in the under forest canopies, but they can't differentiate between forbs, say, and grasses. But it gives you, you know, your range wherever you're at. You can zoom into your particular area, and it'll give you estimates that if between now and the end of this season, or if you start on April 1 and the end of August, the total productivity of your grass, your total forage base, and then you need to estimate how many, what percentage is available for cows. Most people also don't graze everything, whatever prescription grazing you adhere to, whether it's take half, leave half, but it gives you, hopefully earlier in the season, what your total production will be, and then you estimate it from there to make your decisions.
Talk about the value of that then, Lee. Work in how much ranchers and farmers rely on the forage grasslands.
Right. Well, it's, you know, many ranchers I know say they're in the grass business. They raise grass first, and then that to take care of their cattle. And so it's really important. They know how to manage grasses for a year or two of drought, but once you get over that, it gets pretty tough to try to be able to handle that.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So the group that organizes this was a group of extension specialists and several universities that put this program together in 2018. First this GrassCast program. And they've been going since then, and they've had a lot of really good comments from folks that out on the ground that it's helped them.
Yeah, help them, I guess, plan for. Does it forecast to the end of the season? Is that what it's forecasting?
It does. That's it. It's one of the few products that tries to do that. Now, of course, it isn't perfect. A friend of mine always said you either had to forecast the weather, in that case, grass growth. In the Great Plains, we'll start this way. In the Great Plains, from here east, April, May, June is our precip months. If the percentage of rain that you get during those 3 months, whatever that is compared to normal, equals your grass growth. So a friend of mine always said, To do much forecasting, you either had to be 90 years old or you had to be a damn fool. So so they try to use science to get rid of some of the damn fool part of it.
So. Yeah, well, good luck with that because, you know, we're still around, the humans. Again, it's Lee Schmelzer with us here. So GrassCast, is this available to everybody? Is it an app? Is it a cost?
If you search for GrassCast, it'll work on phone. It's easier on a computer screen because you can see it bigger. You can also zoom in to a particular area if you want to zoom into your ranch, and you can see.
You can.
So
okay.
It gives you, again, a map that shows the beginning, middle, and either a below average, so kind of a gambling map. Think you're going to be below average on precipitation or normal and above average, and it pulls all those factors in to give you an estimate.
So part of your specialty here then, you're adding those 500 weather stations to make this application a little more complete, I guess, right? Is this happening across the country or?
So the funding for the weather stations is in the Upper Missouri River Basin, so in Montana, North and South Dakota, a little bit into Wyoming, and what they wanted to do, this is just one small part, one program that uses information from those weather stations and soil moisture. So there's a multitude of other, both ag and other industries that'll use the data from the program. So I've got 15 minutes of 3 hours this afternoon, and the other 2 hours and 45 minutes is talking about a lot of the other applications that people can use from from those weather stations and other things. So climate and data information that we gather from that and other places.
You've been an extension agent for, you know, 2.5 decades, and
yep.
Not a producer, but an agent in that regard. We were talking with Cody Stone,
yep.
You know, about some of the new technology here and how that has impacted. You know, over your years, you know, what have you seen? And are like this? This is new technology. This is sort of it's almost AI stuff,
yep.
Really. What have you seen? And what do you kind of look down the road a little bit and hope to get into?
Well, again, the way I look at it is it just gives producers more information. And so whatever it is, it's not that they already know a lot of this stuff, but it might help them validate what they're seeing
gotcha.
Out on the ground in aspects to what I've mainly worked with these grass tools and other information from the soil moisture and soil temperature and those kind of things. So it helps them validate it, and it might... When you're producing, you're just running, you know, hard. And so it might be something that helps you validate what you're seeing and reminds you, well, yeah, I need to look at this pasture to see where we're at. And it might give you information earlier in the season to help you get from getting in a wreck or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So again, it's not going to – I see very few that are the golden silver bullet, but they're just another tool.
Yeah, so, you know, and it strikes me because I think farmers and ranchers, they learn from, you know, their families in the past over the years, and they tend to have good instincts, right?
Yeah, right.
And this, when you talk about validating that, you're validating their instinct on these things, I suppose.
Right. Well, and the other really important tool that all of this information from the weather stations and soil moisture and grass cast and all of those are feed in to the drought maps that are published weekly. They look yeah. at that information every week when they're publishing and drawing those maps, and so that process is really benefiting from a lot of the technology. That's where I've seen maybe in the 20 years or so that I've been heavily involved in looking at these kind of things, I've seen that process improve dramatically because we have better data. So the more information you have, usually the better decision that you can make.
I totally agree. I mean, I spent a lot of time getting information.
Yeah,
it's really good stuff. Lee, thanks, man.
Yep,
thanks
for
doing that. Yeah, and check in again, okay, the next new thing that you get into, all right?
Okay.
Yep, that's Lee Schmelzer once again. Currently working a special project here for MSU Extension. Wrapping up here with John Hawley from MSU Extension, Communications Director. Always appreciate John. Worked with him over a lot of the 4-H projects as well. Really cool. You've got so much going on at MSU Extension, so always with the releases and, you know, and then this big thing. I mean, when you first started telling me about this, I know we got like about 2 minutes left here. When you first started telling me about this, I didn't grasp it, really. You know, all the 1,400 people here, and then how full that agenda really is. So congratulations on that for all your staff here.
Yeah, the kudos go. I mean, you just talked with Patrick earlier. The kudos go to our people. You know, my job is one of the easiest in the world because I get to help them tell their story. I get to help them share the impact of what they do. But they're doing the hard work. They're working nights. Right. And the amount of hours that were put in to make this thing happen, I mean, I hope for anyone listening that's maybe visiting from out of state, I certainly just want to thank them for coming. I want to thank our sponsors. And I want to thank Northern Broadcasting System. My goodness, y'all are, you know, between Northern Ag Network, you know, your show, and then we've got KGHL at our farewell banquet tomorrow.
All right, yes,
we're so excited for that, and I can't thank your team enough. Bernadette Jensen, you, the whole team. I had to give her a shout out. She's sitting right over there.
Yeah.
And then Cody Ross back in the studio helping us organize all this. It's just been so wonderful, and y'all are invited to the rest of the whole big thing. So
well, tell me what we got you heard Cody say less than 1 minute now.
Yeah.
So what else is going to happen here that maybe people can come to?
Yeah, well, frankly, you can pop into the sessions if you want to learn a little something. Yeah. Those are not ticketed, but we have our annual banquet tonight. Yeah. Really, I think Patrick talked to you about it. The tours are the big thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
People are going to do a lot of learning, a lot of socializing, and then our farewell banquet is very much social. It's a way to thank everyone for coming to Montana. We're going to have some Montana beef, and so certainly if you want to pop down and meet an extension agent, the door is open.
That's
so.
At the pub station, away on Wednesday.
Wednesday, 5:30 to 7:30.
Right.
Yep, yeah.
John,
certainly.
Thank you for hosting us here as well.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.